Welcome to episode 260 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on December 10th, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, KQL, or Cousteau Query Language, is top of mind when Ben and Scott discuss how to get started with it and how it can be used across a number of Office 365 and Azure services.
Are you familiar with Cousteau?
I am familiar with Cousteau. I have not written a bunch of Cousteau, but from a M365 side of things, you can go take a bunch of logs and shove them over into something like Log Analytics and leverage Azure Sentinel, and there are Cousteau queries over there. I tend to be like, let's go find one that's already written and run one that's already written, and then maybe tweak it a little bit. So I am not like a Cousteau or a KQL expert, but I do have familiarity with it.
Gotcha. So by no means am I an expert with Cousteau either. I think I've learned enough over time to be dangerous with it. And you're exposed to it through quite a bit of the Microsoft ecosystem today. So you mentioned things like Microsoft 365 logs. Log Analytics in Azure uses Cousteau Query Language, or KQL, as a backing language to go ahead and execute queries and return data from the data sets that reside within Log Analytics. It's also used within things like Azure Monitor. So if you're using Azure Monitor for monitoring your workloads, you will run across things like Cousteau queries there, especially if you're building out maybe custom charts or tables that you want to display in something like a Azure Monitor workbook. Awesome. Ready to go and quite easy to spin up and see what's going on that side of things. And then you also have it as the backing language for retrieving information from Azure Data Explorer, which is another Azure service, which has Cousteau databases that sit behind it. So you query all those databases through Cousteau and KQL as well.
And Azure Monitor, just real quick, Azure Monitor is still just querying Log Analytics too. Azure Monitor kind of sits on top of Log Analytics, or is it querying other data sources too?
Yes and no. Like, there's Azure Monitor is a weird one because you have things like your audit log and everything that's built in. And then right. You also have some of your metrics and other things that you can actually go ahead and query without having Log Analytics. Or then you can send some of your logs, some of your deeper telemetry. Maybe you do like App Insights plus audit log exports, things like that. You can send all of that over to Log Analytics as well, and then be able to go ahead and query and start to put that data back together and rationalize it and make sense of it. So it starts to get a little bit disjointed, but what happens really is you have this one query language that is used across Azure with multiple services. So it's worth your time if you do Azure, I think, to learn a little bit about Cousteau, see what's going on with it. Like, you might have never been a developer, you might have never been a database admin, you might not be familiar with things like creating tables, altering tables, dropping tables, adding columns to a table. Like, you might need to get familiar with some of that, just if you're using maybe like Azure Data Explorer and draw Cousteau as a service together. Or you just need to get on board the query train and at least figure out how to start to put together expression statements in KQL to return tabular data back to you from one or more data sources. And that has a bunch of tangible benefits to it. So like I mentioned, you've got KQL or Cousteau Query Language used across all these services. Over time, what's happened is it started to coalesce, and you can actually do things like query across services. So say I'm spinning up Azure Data Explorer, and I have one cluster for Azure Data Explorer where I'm ingesting all my CDN logs, and then maybe I spin up a whole nother cluster that's a separate Azure service to go ahead and ingest security logs. And I have those two things running in separate ways. They both have different compute needs. They have different needs about data compaction, how the data comes in, all those kinds of things. Maybe I want one cluster to be really beefy and running all the time, one to be running all the time, but a little bit smaller. Maybe I want to shut it off sometimes. like you have that flexibility. But now you have two data sets that are related. They're all about your environment, but they're in two different places. So you can do things like you, just like you could in SQL, you can join across multiple data sets. And those data sets could be tables within the same Kusto database. They could be tables in disconnected databases. So you can do things like cross joins. So maybe I have some of my data. Let's say you do maybe event log capture from your Windows and Linux boxes, and you use the native Azure agent and you ship all that data out to Log Analytics. And then you have another data set, which is your internal inventory, which is just a raw table that sits in a Kusto cluster over in ADX. You can actually take those two things and just marry them together through a join. And just like you would in SQL, you have left joins, right joins, left outers, left inners, outers, inners, inner uniques. Like you have all these permutations and things that if you've ever done SQL, pretty easy to get on board and go ahead and grasp it. And I've become a huge fan of Kusto, not just across Azure, but also within my daily job. So we do quite a bit, or at least I have quite a bit in my role at Microsoft, where I'm spending a lot of time on top of data that's stored in Kusto. And I've found that it's super flexible. Like it's got some edge cases and limits to it, like everything else does. But it is probably one of the, you know, most powerful tools that I have access to in my day-to-day job when it comes to being able to go out and search data, rationalize data, quickly summarize, quickly bin time series data. The other day, I give you an example. So we're going through an effort where we want to look back on a data set over time. So it's a set of time series data, like we're capturing daily metrics, by the hour metrics, things like that. And we want to go back and we want to look over the last 90 days and infer averages out of there. So look at like a sliding window from the last, take the last 90 days. And then for every 7-day chunk within the last 90 days, go ahead and pull me the average of this dimension. So you can build a, almost like a rolling window kind of line chart and just understand averages over time based on this delineation of seven-day chunks. And that might be something that's actually quite a bit to put together initially. Like you start to think about how you would do that. Well, I probably need to know the start of my data set. I need to go figure out the end of my data set. That all needs to be a dynamic. I probably need to do a bunch of kind of mid-range data munching in the middle for everything that's between start and end, and then go ahead and bin it into all these 7-day things. And then once I've got that, maybe I need to go out and reach someplace else and figure out the 7-day average. And that's how I would maybe approach it in SQL land too. But one of the things Kusto is good with, it's awesome with time series data and time series analysis. So there's just a built-in plugin or function that I can use to go ahead and put that together. So what would normally be 20 lines of a query all of a sudden gets just shortened down to one quick line as a built-in function for me. So like in this case, I had started going down the query path and I was like Kusto's good with time series analysis. I should be able to like just find a thing for this. And a little bit of Googling, it turns out that in the Kusto docs, there's a whole section that's based on user analytics. If you have a web app, maybe you're capturing these analytics in App Insights, you've got them in Splunk, you're just writing them someplace, Log4Net, like whatever you've got. There's all these plugins for just figuring out this stuff for you. There's an active user count plugin. There's an active counts metric plugin. And one of the really cool ones that was in there that helped me in this case was there is this thing called the sliding window count plugin, which calculates counts and distinct counts of values in a sliding window over a look back period using that same kind of technique I described. Let's figure out the start, the end, and munge all the data together in the mid and put it back together for you. And then because it's Kusto, I can not only query the tabular data, but Kusto also supports things like visualization. So when I get to the end and I have my entire query written, at the end of my query, all I have to do is use a render statement and I can say render time chart, render line chart, render pie chart. It just goes out and it actually builds the graph for me. And then I can take that query and I can embed it other places. One of the other big things that we use a lot of is Azure DevOps and things like boards in Azure DevOps and building out dashboards on top of those boards and those queries and things like that. And quite often I want to be able to combine data from not only ADO, but also things that we're doing over in Kusto land where we're tracking some of those metrics. So there's an add-in for Azure DevOps like that you can just go install, and it's the Kusto plugin. And you give it a query, you say, go connect to this cluster, go connect to this database, and maybe cache it for this amount of time. And now that whole thing that I had maybe locked away in a Kusto client or into some other query engine, it's just like a little plugin. It's like dropping a web part on a SharePoint page and boom, I've got my chart that renders out. It's rendering out based on a real-time grab of the data from Kusto. So I've become really enamored with it. Like it's a fun tool to use. It's fun to solve the challenges that come along with it and figuring out custom data sets. And I just run into it more and more. So I think it's valuable to understand that it's there.
Right. So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud.
So you talked about like merging data sources, doing essentially joins, like from log analytics and from other sources. Does that actually have to get ingested then into an ADX cluster, or can you write a query somewhere? And then how does that handle, do I actually have permission to go query all these data sources when I join them?
So you would need access to those data sources. It depends on the service and kind of what's supported for cross joins.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I haven't tried it. I should probably go try it. I'm not sure if I can join a ADX query to Azure Resource Graph and have those come together at the same time. But you can totally cross query across multiple ADX clusters and ADX to log analytics as well. And pull all that together. I know you can do that one.
Well, and you can maybe do, just looking through this, and this is by no means something that I'm an expert at, but it looks like you could also, if you do have to merge those, pull a bunch of stuff into an ADX cluster and do some merging and queries in there, like using... Looks like you can use like Event Grid and Event Hub, ADF, even Power Automate to bring data into Azure Data Explorer and then write your queries there, possibly?
Yeah, totally. If you have a service that is able to send data out in a known schema, you can go ahead and ingest that into ADX in any number of ways. So I've actually seen customers do that in some really cool ways. If you have, say, a large-scale web app, and you're collecting logs from your web application. I want to understand maybe just like basic web logs, things like that. So take all those logs, go ahead and compress them on your end in whatever service you're running. Like say I'm running it in a VM on my premises, or I'm running it in a VM in Azure, whatever it happens to be. I can actually compress it. I can zip it up or I can gzip it. And then I can send it off to something like Blob Storage, and I can have Blob Storage fire an event out to Event Grid and Event Hub, and I can have my Kusto cluster actually reach in and grab that object because now it knows about the event, like, hey, new object landed. It can download the zip file from a blob storage for me. It can unzip it, and then I can tell ADX about the schema of the data that I'm ingesting, be it a CSV, a flat text file, JSON, whatever it is, and it can translate that record and then go post that record in a table for me, do the insert, and then it's just available for me to query and do whatever I need to do with. So there's a lot of different services in like Azure services and resources that natively support things like log analytics export or Event Hub exports that you can tie into this process super easily.
Right. So not directly doing KQL stuff, but still this is ways you could get that data. So you can write those queries and go grab a whole bunch of data and write queries across all this data and pull all kinds of crazy insights out.
I've been mentioning like ADX quite a bit because that's what we use, but like you don't need ADX to get hands-on with Kusto queries. You mentioned log analytics. That's certainly a place to do it, but sometimes it's fun to play when you have more data. And if you have an Azure environment that has more than a handful of Azure resources in it, one of the best places for you to do that might be the Azure Resource Graph. So ARG uses Kusto query language as well to go ahead and get itself up and running. So there's a bunch of good documentation out there around starter resource graph queries. There's advanced query. Resource Graph, I think, is another good introduction because it's not just about learning kind of queries and query basics, but you can step up from basic queries and kind of basic constructs to maybe some more advanced functionality, like because Azure Resource Graph has multiple tables in it by default. So you can start to play around with that. The other thing I think that's good about maybe starting with Azure Resource Graph as just a gateway to get you started is the data in Azure Resource Graph is stored in multiple formats. So you'll find things stored in JSON. Sometimes they're in straight tabular data. So when you start to use those advanced cases, you start to understand that you can do things like take a JSON record and you can actually package it all up into kind of an on-the-fly temporary table or a queryable thing that then you can spit back out as tabular data at the end of your query as well, which is super nice and nifty. Like it's a good thing, good tool to have in your toolbox.
Yeah, well, a lot of these too, when you're getting started with them, like Azure Resource Graph or Log Analytics, even have certain queries in there. Like I just popped open Azure Resource Graph and they have a lot of example queries to help you learn too. There's just count Azure resources and you can click open the query, run the query. You can see that syntax for the query, get back the count and actually start seeing what some of these are doing. They have some of the charts in there already. So it's not like you just have to go to Azure Resource Graph and then go look at some other documentation to start learning some of that query or some of that syntax, but just click to preload some of those example queries, run them, see what they do, read through how everything's laid out. There's another one that like just goes out and gets all the virtual machines ordered by name. And you start seeing how all those are built out. And for me, especially, that's how I learn best. Like I can go read a bunch of documentation and be like, these are the different operators. This is the different syntax. This is how you put it all together. But if I can actually see a query and run it and then go change a certain part of it and see what happens, I like having some of those samples to start with.
And the samples are there to help you, but I think you'll quickly find that, or at least this was for me, like you want to poke and kind of prod a little bit more and see what's there. You'll quickly find that you end up, say you start an Azure Resource Graph, you're going to make your way out of their examples very quickly and just end up straight over, like in the straight all up Kusto documentation. So before you even get started with Azure Resource Graph, like you said, if you're somebody who wants to get maybe more hands-on with it first and learn more about it, maybe go out to Microsoft Learn and take a course. Like there's actually a new course that came out recently on Learn that is focused on just writing your first query with Cousteau. And it walks through connecting to resources. It walks through common operators, like using maybe the take operator, like what's the difference between the take and top operator, things like that. How can you return a tabular data set that only includes a certain subset of columns from your table or tables that you've been querying? Let's get hands-on with the project operator. Go ahead and filter with things like wheres, be able to reorder with sorting. And that just walks you through some of the basics. And maybe you do something like that. That'll take you 30, 40 minutes to get through something like write your first query with Cousteau query language. And then you go back and hop over to the resource graph. And that way, before you're even seeing things pop up in the portal that maybe you've never seen before, you've at least had a little bit of an introduction to language. You've played around it with it in a sandbox in kind of a known way. There's guardrails around that process and you're being directed down a certain path. And then it's not all new to you when you get over the other side. And you might find that even makes you a little more inquisitive about it.
Yes. Hey, Scott, I just found my secure score by subscription in the Azure Resource Graph.
Look at you.
But even just pulling stuff like that, I know. Even pulling stuff like that, before, maybe you wanted to see a secure score, you're jumping from subscription to subscription in the UI. Like, this was one of those pre-created queries. So it just went and ran against all 15 of my subscriptions, spit back the current score. It took like 5 seconds.
Yeah, so that's a really cool thing. Like, Azure Resource Graph is multi-subscription, like you mentioned there. And so you didn't even have to go turn on like multiple Azure Resource Graph things. There was no other resource you had to spin up. It's all just data that's sitting behind that, ready for you to go, ready for you to query. I think like when you get into Resource Graph, one of the things maybe you'll run into is you figure out how weird Azure resources are. It's maybe like the first time you start working with like PowerShell or the CLI and you go, why does the CLI return this resource this way and it returns this one? Like, why am I seeing JSON here? Why am I seeing this other thing over here? The resource graph can do that to you a little bit as well. You also have to be mindful of with the resource graph that it doesn't maybe track everything. So storage, as an example, if you think about a storage account, storage accounts have blobs, they have a data lake, you've got files, tables, queues, all those different things. Those are all different endpoints in a storage account. So you know how you go into a storage account and you have like storage account name.blob.core.windows.net, you have .files.dfs, things like that for the ADLS endpoint. All those different endpoints, they're actually what's known as proxy resources. So they're not properly represented in the resource graph because the storage account is the resource. All these other things are technically children of the storage account, even though maybe we think of them as top level resources. So getting your head around some of that and figuring out how you would track it and bring it back together can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes, but all very doable.
But it's interesting that you bring that up because I was in a training last week. I can't remember. 2 weeks ago. And we had this very similar conversation about, and now we're going, we'll just keep going down this path. It's a little bit outside of KQ, but it was that conversation about all of these, there's different things that are all stuck in different places, like the Azure Resource Graph or some of the stuff about storage or like your M365 audit logs, if you're doing that and combining that with Azure. And somebody was like, how do I know where to go to find all of this data? Because it was coming up against that as I can't go to the Azure Resource Graph for everything. And it all led into shove it all into Log Analytics, start using Sentinel to pull it all together. But it is not, there's not like one place you can go to get all of that data about all of your resources, different information about it. So it was interesting that you just brought that up as well.
It depends on what you're trying to get at. It's a tough problem to solve. One of the things that you potentially have to do as a customer is you have to optimize not only around the data that you want to collect. So what are the data points that you need? Where are you going to be able to get those data points from? What data sources do you go to interrogate them? If you can't interrogate them and say you need to ingest them someplace else and then put them all together in one place, like how do you do that? What does that look like? How does that manifest itself? Because you'll start to very quickly maybe look at a service like Log Analytics, or you'll look at long-term retention of your audit logs in Log Analytics versus Azure Data Explorer, things like that. Like, cost certainly becomes a consideration quickly for you based on how much data you store. And then based on the amount of data you store, is it feasible to actually be able to query all of it? Like, that's another really cool thing that Kusto is good at, is querying super large sets of data. But even there, it has its limitations. Like, you might find that one thing I run into is sometimes on smaller Kusto clusters, smaller ADX clusters, there's just not enough cores provisioned for the amount of data that I want to be able to pull back in a given query. So you have to be more mindful of the way maybe you summarize data, or you start to do things like bin time series. Maybe you join smaller data sets, maybe you do joins later. Maybe you have to build yourself like an intermediate table where you can flow a larger set of data down to a more compacted set and down to a more compacted set from there, just so you can query it in a performant way where you're not waiting like 5 minutes every time you want a query to run.
Right. It's querying a SharePoint list.
It's quicker than querying a SharePoint list.
It's quicker than...
Yeah. I don't know that much can be slower than that.
No, definitely not. No, KQL is much better than and all of that. There was another discussion that popped up about that the other day, and that 5,000 item limit in a query. So it was on my mind. And then when you brought segmenting it out to make it quicker, I was like, huh, that's like a SharePoint list. Only a SharePoint list is probably 100 times worse.
Good luck figuring out how to do relational data between SharePoint lists. Doesn't exactly work. Yeah. It doesn't exactly work the way maybe a sane person would think it would.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
You mentioned Microsoft Learn in that course that was 30 to 40 minutes. It's like you were reading the time at the top that says 39 minutes. It should take you exactly 39 minutes. I don't know.
So it's a brand new course. I actually ran through it the other day. Like, I wanted to see if there was maybe something in there. Do I need a quick refresher? Things like that. If you're brand new to it, you've never done it before, it's probably going to take you like 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes tops. Read slowly, 40 minutes. If you've done it before, maybe you can hop through, go a little bit quicker. It's like a 15, 20 minute thing. But
got it.
It's a very nice, quick way. There are courses on Pluralsight about Kusto. There's tons of labs out there. There's lots of GitHub repos with sample queries, things like that. So you can certainly go find all the queries and, like you said, at least have something that you can maybe do the Stack Overflow thing. Like, I'm just going to search for this. I'm going to copy it and paste it in a box and click run and see what happens. And you can go ahead and do that with Kusto very easily and then get hands-on with it from there. Start to decompose those queries, break them down, and see what else you can do with them.
Yeah, and you sent me some other nice resources too. I was looking at this GitHub repo of Kusto queries by Tobias McVeigh, I think is his name, assuming I'm breaking the first name and last name apart separately, that has a whole bunch of different examples too. Like, the README has some examples in it, and then he has a Kusto file out there that also looks like maybe that's all the queries that are in the README, but it's like almost 1,000 lines, various queries that you could go look at, test out, all for learning KQL in Azure Data Explorer. And then he does mention it can also be used in Azure Monitor Logs, Application Insights, Time Series Insights, and Defender Advanced Threat Perception. I think that's a typo. I'm guessing that's Defender Advanced Threat Protection and not Perception. Yes.
Which I think really hammers home that point. Like, you're not learning if you go down this path and maybe you've never done KQL before or you want to learn more about it, it's not like it's a skill that you're going to learn once and then you're never going to use it again. You are going to run into it all the time, all over the place. And you'll probably find that once you know it a little bit, you're going to start running into it more and more, and it'll just jump out at you and maybe make your job that much easier.
Yep. No, this is on my list of things I need to go learn, because I have a few clients and some trainings I'm starting to do that from my side are dealing a lot more with going back to the log analytics, Sentinel, some of the security stuff, and all of the things you can do with KQ when it comes to those particular products. And in particular, those M365 logs that you can start ingesting and doing queries and alerting and all of that on. So lots of, I would say just about any admin should go out and learn this. Whether you're doing, like you are, you're doing it in ADX, you're doing stuff with storage, you're doing stuff with M365. To the point you just made, this is starting to show up all over the place in the Microsoft cloud, and a skill that I would say most administrators are probably going to need at one point in time or another.
I would say this is for everybody. Don't bucket it into just administrators, end users, developers, business admins.
I don't like talking about developers.
But I think in the spirit of you are going to run into this every place, a very common service that developers use in Azure, maybe say you're like building a web app, would be Application Insights. And guess what Application Insights uses as its query language? I'll give you a hint. It starts with a K, it ends with an O, and it's got an oost in the middle. Yeah.
You had to think through that and make sure you weren't going to say any naughty words on the podcast.
I did. You can always bleep them out later, I'm sure. But yeah, we got to maintain that G rating. Like I said, you will run into it all over the place. Once you start to run into it, you also, I think, you become more empowered to recognize that you can also use that data in other places. So like I said, I do a lot of combined dashboards that combine data from things like ADO and Kusto at the same time. There are connectors for Kusto where you can bring that data in to Excel automatically. So if you have just, you know, the world runs on Excel. That's how most businesses are run.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you have, say, like an Excel spreadsheet where maybe you're doing something with your marketing team around your website and you're tracking some KPIs or things there, and you need to pull in real data based on the telemetry from your website, and that data is sitting out in a Kusto cluster somewhere, you just pull that straight into your spreadsheet. There are connectors for Power Apps to go ahead and work with Kusto. So like one of the ones that we use quite a bit within my team is we write these structured queries in Kusto, and then we execute those queries in Power Apps, and like a Power Automate flow kind of situation. And we use those flows to execute downstream business process for us. Let's go query this data set in Kusto, and based on the results that are returned, let's go automatically maybe open up some bug reports or a bunch of issues in ADO for us. And that's all just automated. And there are also connectors for Power BI. Super easy to get on board with that one. The Power BI one's actually cool because it supports two modes. You can have it do direct query, which is basically like a live query at the time the user is going in and executing the report and viewing that page. You can also do import queries, where it will go out based on your dataset refresh and automatically reach out to that data source and go ahead and ingest it over to your dataset within Power BI. And then you've just got that data available, and it's maybe a little bit more instantaneous on kind of first load for users.
Yeah, because can't you, if I'm remembering right from what I was doing the other day and everything's starting to blur together in my head, you can do like a new data source in Power BI and do a blank query and like paste a Kusto query right into Power BI.
Yeah, you just have to be mindful with Power BI. I found you have to be mindful of the mode you're running it in, just because it has those two modes where it can run in import or it can basically run direct and live.
Run like a live refresh query thing.
And if you're running queries that they take a little while to put together, like I was doing one of these maybe a couple weeks ago, and it's a dashboard with, say, like 8 different pieces on it, and that's 8 different queries, and each query takes up to 60 seconds to run. that's a pretty crappy like first load experience in ADO while you're sitting there staring at like a whole blank wall of parts on a dashboard waiting to load versus doing an import into Power BI, having that data set there ready to go at the beginning of the day every day, which is what I really just need anyway. And then being able to do ongoing refreshes of that data overnight and then what's available to slice, filter, sort, whatever you need in Power BI quickly.
Scott, this is where you upsell. Go buy Power BI Premium, attach that to a workspace, publish your report there, and you'll have all the computing power you need to do those queries. Unless, of course, it's a delay on the back end. And
it's a delay on the back end.
It doesn't actually help.
So one of the things with Kusto is you're constrained by the compute on the back end. Don't forget that either when you're writing Kusto queries. Like when you start writing your first queries, pretty easy to get on. Once you start querying large data sets or you start doing like large cross joins, things like that, you'll quickly find that optimization is your friend. You don't want queries that are going to take 5 minutes to run every time because it's not just like that it's taking 5 minutes to take 5 minutes. It's taking 5 minutes because you're running a bunch of compute behind it to make all that happen. And when you're consuming that compute, you're also going to be charged for that. So you got to keep that in mind.
You said that really quiet. You're going to be charged.
There's a money penalty to that sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
No. Somebody's got to pay for it.
I think it's also about just...
That's a whole nother rabbit hole about, but you're using resources, you got to pay for them. It's that simple. Anyways.
Sure. Yeah. There's money associated with it. I think it's also about maybe being a good kind of corporate citizen. So say you do go down the Azure Data Explorer path and you spin up an ADX cluster and you get all that up and running and you figure out the perfect size of an ADX cluster based on the amount of data you have, how often you query it, how often you've put all that together and you go, this is perfect. And then the very next day, somebody sees that, like your boss sees that or somebody else on your team, and they come in and they start running queries at the same time you're running queries. And now you find that because your queries weren't optimized and their queries aren't optimized, now all that compute's being chewed up for unoptimized queries and nobody's able to run anything anymore because you've basically sucked up all the cores to do something that really doesn't need to be done along the way. So you do want to be mindful of things like that. There's all sorts of governors that you can put in place with ADX around how much resources can be allocated to a given query, a given user, a given security group, things like that. You can make all that happen.
Got it. Sounds good. Sorry, just got my watch was buzzing at me. Sounds good. Now I should go play with KQL some more and practice my Kusto query language skills.
Yeah.
I actually have to go write a document first.
I'm going to add it to your list of things that we've talked about over the past however many years.
That I need to go learn.
That you're going to touch and get hands-on with someday.
I have a list. I'd like of... Sometime maybe when I have free time and how much free time I have.
I do.
Yeah. No, this is one that I actually have played with more recently.
I think this one is valuable.
I'm sure it's in my future.
The more you run into it and the more you do it, the more you'll recognize it when you see it. And it is everywhere. And like I said, it's not a skill that you would pick up and go, I'm never going to use this again. If you invested an hour in learning it this week, and next week you spent 5 minutes doing it, 5 minutes the week after that, 5 minutes, you're good. It's all reinforced and ready to go. If you invest an hour this week, it's not like you're going to come back and never see it in the next 6 months. It's something that you're going to touch quite a bit.
Well, it is. And that's why this one is one I actually do need to make more of a focus on learning because I see it continually popping up and I'm like, oh, I need to spend an hour or two with it. So on my list, maybe this weekend. We'll see. If not, next week. But with that, I do actually have to go write a document that I told someone I'd have done for him today. Do you want to write a Word document instead of a KQL query for me, Scott?
I'm Word docked out this week.
All right. Then I'll go write my Word document and you can go enjoy your weekend.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.